speaking on this program is Brother Ken Willis.
About some of the fundamentals of the faith and of a softening effect that's taking place in our society and getting away from many of these fundamentals. We've looked at some of the ways this softening has been evidenced, and we have looked at some of the doctrinal issues and some of the doctrinal preaching that needs to be done today to get back to the fundamentals. We have talked about the fact that the Bible is the Word of God and that we need to respect it. We need to not change it. We need to study it. We need to be obedient to the commands of God. After all, Christ said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And so we need to get back to the fundamentals. And today we talk about the fact that the church is one of the fundamental teachings in the Word of God, that blood-bought body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the fact that the church is distinctive and that the church is one. In Ephesians 4, verse 4, where the Apostle Paul stresses that there needs to be the endeavoring of the to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace, he said there is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. And it's interesting that when he says that there is one body, in this same letter, we back up to chapter 1, and we read this concerning Christ, that God had put all things under his feet, gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. That being verse 22 and 23 of Ephesians chapter 1. You come to chapter 4 and he says, there is one body. He's already identified in chapter 1 that the body is the church. And then you come to the 5th chapter, where the husband-wife relationship is given and about the needing of submitting themselves to the Lord and one to another. He says the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. But he says that the church is the body of Christ, and he's going to be the one who saves the body. In Romans 12, we have this statement in verse 4 and 5. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Now let's look at that statement. So we, being many, are one body. Is he talking here about present-day denominationalism? Is he saying that all these different religious organizations, all these different bodies with their differing teachings, that they are the one body in Christ? He's writing to members. He's writing to individuals. And no, he is not saying that we, being many denominations, are the one body in Christ. He's saying that there are members within a congregation that have different abilities, different talents, and though they be many, they are one body in Christ, every one members one of another. So the Bible identifies the body as the church, and that Christ hath put all things he's the head over all things to the church by virtue of the fact that God had put all things under him. And so there needs to be a getting back to the fundamentals of the fact that the Lord purchased his church. He said in Matthew chapter 16, I will build my church, not churches plural, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And in the church, there is unity, there is a oneness, and there is to be a respect for the Lord's body. And those that would say, well, I'll take Christ, but I don't want the church, because sadly they've looked at the church as being so many conflicting denominations in Protestantism, Christ died for one church. And there needs to be a respect of the teachings of the Word of God that there is one church. In Romans chapter 16, verse 16, salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you, those that belong to the Lord by virtue of the fact that they were bought with His blood. In Acts 20, to one church of Christ, that one that was in Ephesus, Paul wrote to the elders, that you take heed unto yourselves and all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which He purchased with His own blood. So the church is significant. The church is important. And you can't separate the church from Christ because He's the head of it and it's His body. Well, in the church, there is also a plan for redeeming man. And salvation is not by grace only, nor is it by faith only. Nor is it by the gospel only, and we're taught that we're saved by the gospel. In Romans 8, we're taught in verse 24 that we're saved by hope. But it's not hope only, or gospel only, or faith only, or grace only, or baptism only, or any other only. God's plan is that there needs to be the receiving of the Word of God into a good and honest heart, and acceptance of that Word, that leads one to a faith in God. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. That leads one to an acceptance that Jesus is the Christ, the only begotten Son of God. And an awareness that all have sinned, come short of the glory of God, that there are none righteous, no, not one, Romans 3:23. And feeling the weight of sin that would lead an individual to ask, what must I do to be saved? How can I have these sins removed from my life? He will know that he has to turn away from sins. God now commands all men everywhere to repent. Repent means to turn, to change, to turn from being away from God, to turn toward God. That would cause one to recognize and accept the words of Christ in Luke 13:3, where he says, I tell you nay, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And also that would lead one to be willing to be open about his faith, to confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, even as the Ethiopian did in Acts chapter 8. And as Paul teaches in Romans 10, verse 10, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And then that would lead one to say, I want to be in Christ. And we're told in Galatians 3, verse 27, that we're baptized into Christ. In Romans chapter 6, verse 3, it's a baptism into His death. Water baptism, the symbolic of dying to sin, as Christ died for the sins of mankind. A burial with Christ, an arising to walk in newness of life. Down in verse 16 and 17 of Romans 6, the apostle says that God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from your heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. That form of doctrine is spoken of in verse 3, 4, and 5 of the death, the burial, and the resurrection into Christ in baptism. And he says, it was at that time that you were saved from your past sins. One then that's been baptized into Christ is added by the Lord to His church, Acts 2, verse 47, that he might faithfully worship, might faithfully serve, might faithfully be obedient unto death, even if it requires death, or until death, Revelation 2, verse 10, that he might receive the crown of life. But sometimes there are those who are overtaken in a fault, as the Bible speaks in Galatians 6, verse 1. What's God's law of pardon for them? That they pray God and ask for forgiveness and turn away from their sin, that they repent of it, turn away from it, and ask God for forgiveness. And He's faithful and just to forgive their sins. Well, these are things that are fundamentals. And when they're neglected, there is a softening of the fundamentals. There is the work of the church. The work of the church is spiritual. It's not a social organization. The work of the church is preaching the gospel. Christ said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. It is also the work of the church to be involved in edifying and the building up of the members. I learn of that in Ephesians 4, beginning with verse 12. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Reading Ephesians 4, verse 12 and verse 13. So that indicates that there is to be the edifying of the body of Christ, the edifying of the church. And then there is the work of benevolence. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto those who are the household of faith. Galatians 6, verse 10. And James says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. This being then the mission of the church. In its organization, the church has as its head Christ, Matthew 28, verse 18. He's above all principality and all power. But the Lord has said that there be elders in a local congregation to oversee the flock. There were elders in the church at Ephesus, in Acts 20, verse 28. Peter said in 1 Peter 5, verse 2, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not of filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. And in Hebrews 13, 17, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as those that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. His design, the organization of the church with Christ as its head, when there are those men that qualify spiritually, that they be the elders, under them is a class of servants known as deacons. Their qualifications are given in 1 Timothy chapter 3, and every member fulfilling his function in the body of Christ. Are you concerned with the fundamentals? Are you concerned with being right in the sight of God?